Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. I have been waiting for this episode for so long. Probably ever since I paid an offensive amount for a knob of ginger at the supermarket, truth be told. Today, we're talking about growing ginger and turmeric, which Elise tells me they grow in a similar way, so we're bundling them together. Ginger we see pretty commonly fresh in the supermarket, so I reckon we're all reasonably familiar with it. But Elise, what can you say about using fresh turmeric over the powder variety that we commonly see around?
Oh, well, like everything, I mean, it's just so much better fresh. Like it doesn't have, powdered turmeric is great, but I mean, it'd be the same if you've ever used powdered ginger. Like it's great, right? But like fresh ginger is just so much more vibrant and complex than the powdered
Vibrant's
stuff.
A good word.
Yeah, and with turmeric, it's exactly the same.
Okay.
So for anyone that doesn't know, a turmeric, like fresh turmeric just looks like ginger, but orange.
Kind of skinny.
Yeah,
ginger.
A skinnier version and a more orange version.
More orange and more skinny.
It's had some fake tan and been on a diet. Yeah. Other than that, it's ginger. You have been busting chops through this episode, I think, ever since we started this podcast. And I have been dragging my feet on it.
Why have you been dragging your feet on it?
Because I will say in the south of Australia, in the cold parts, it is more difficult. If you're in the warmer parts, and look, being a cold gardener myself, I probably don't cater to you guys as much as the cold gardeners.
Oh, look, we know that we don't, but we've got to stick
look,
with what
we
know.
Exactly. We do what we know. But I will say this is your time to shine, guys. Yeah. If you are in a warmer area, if you're in Queensland in Australia, well, happy days, because ginger and turmeric is going to grow like a weed for you.
Oh, how lovely for them.
I know, how lovely for them. For us, it's a little bit more work. I would say if you're in a warmer climate, this is really a beginner crop. If you're not in a warmer climate like us, it's a more intermediate crop.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hesitation.
Gotcha.
Having said that, I am gardening in one of the coldest parts of Australia and I do successfully grow ginger and turmeric.
It can be done.
It can be done. It's not coming out the yin yang, right? Like I'm sure if I did the same thing in a warmer area, I'd get a bigger harvest. But nonetheless, it can be done. And you're right. Given the price of it, even a modest harvest is very valuable. And fresh turmeric is actually not only going to pay through the nose, but it's hard to get.
Yeah. Apart from at a market, I don't think I've ever seen it for sale fresh.
Oh, yeah. You're never going to see it in a supermarket. Not a chance. And it is beautiful to work with. So, yeah, look, I'm a fan. So, look, it is worth growing. We're doing it. And we're here for it.
I couldn't tell you what they all are, but people say many health benefits.
Definitely. Again, I couldn't tell you what they are either. But if you are into kombucha brewing like myself, making a fire tonic with fresh ginger and fresh turmeric from the garden is amazing.
Ooh.
Delicious. You know what? Let's do a whole episode on it one day, my fire tonic. Because my fire tonic is exclusively made from stuff I harvest from the garden.
Ah, that's very cool.
That is cool.
And when we get to the end of this episode, I do want to talk about preserving or how, like, once we get it out of the ground, how we make it last as long as possible as well in our kitchens. But before we get to harvesting.
Let's grow some. Okay. The time to plant it is spring.
Good.
Wherever you are. In Australia, if you're in the colder parts like us, you're going to wait for it to warm up a bit. Well, this is not first week of spring stuff. This is probably, you know, mid to end spring for us. If you're in the warmer areas, just get it in spring. The real question is, what are we going to be planting? Have you got any ideas?
I'm wondering if, like garlic, we're growing something that's already existing.
You are bang on.
Yes.
Look at you go. Like garlic, like potatoes, like Jerusalem artichokes, we're actually planting basically a knob of ginger or a knob of turmeric. Mm-hmm. This is called a rhizome in the technical speak.
Yep.
This is really your only option to grow it. I assume it can be grown by seed. I don't even know. But like that's just not a thing. Rhizome
so
only.
When we had our garlic, we could go and buy garlic from the market and plant it. When we had potatoes, we couldn't go and buy potatoes from the market. We had to buy special ones.
Yeah.
Where does the turmeric and garlic fit?
The turmeric and ginger.
The turmeric and ginger. Sorry.
Yeah. same as the garlic. You can buy it from a nursery to plant specifically, or you can buy it from an organic shop. Mm-hmm. But like with the garlic, I don't want you buying it from the supermarket because often they'll spray it with something to actually retard it from sprouting because they want it to last longer on the shelves. We want this to sprout.
Okay.
So organic or nursery is your two options.
Okay. So you mean like an organic market shop, not not a supermarket.
Just not a supermarket or anything conventional, like what's considered conventional produce.
Yeah.
So if it's in a supermarket, unless it's labelled organic, it's 100% going to be sprayed with this stuff.
Yeah, probably a farmer's market. Okay, so look for the organic.
Yeah, a farmer's market with some little grower, even if he's not certified organic, he's probably not going to be spraying it with this.
Yeah.
He's probably just harvested it and selling it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, you just don't want it to be sprayed with anything that's going to stop it sprouting. But other than that, go for gold.
But let's talk about spacing. Mm. I want to know how much I need to buy.
Well, you plant each rhizome about 20 to 30 centimetres apart. So if you're growing this in a pot, you might put one in a smallish pot. Obviously, a rhizome can be different sizes, but the bigger the piece you plant, the more ginger you get from it. It's like, it's a bit hard to describe how it works, but almost like Jerusalem artichokes where we plant one and then they just kind of like proliferate around.
Mm.
So the bigger the piece that you start with, the more it proliferates. This is all like lining up beautifully this season. But when we talked about dahlias, it's the same kind of thing. Like you have one tuber and then they just like attach on and kind of grow into this bigger tuber. And then the bigger the tuber you start with, kind of the bigger the growth is.
Yeah.
And that extra growth is the ginger or the turmeric that you're harvesting.
Okay. So you buy one big chunk.
Yeah.
And you put the one big chunk in as a one big chunk, or do you break it up?
Well, so what you need to do before you plant it is wait for it to have little buds.
This is
like the same as when we talked about potatoes, how we wait for them to have eyes.
Mm.
These look like little knobbly eyes
on
the turmeric and ginger. So we wait for them. If you buy it from like a nursery place, I would expect that it would already have eyes. If you're buying it from the organic shop, you might just leave it in the back of the cupboard for a month and then it will get eyes. What you can do is cut it up into smaller pieces and plant them separately, but I would leave at least two eyes on each piece.
Okay.
Minimum. You can just put the whole thing in.
Right.
But yeah, if you want to cut it, make sure it's got two eyes each. So I would say, like, for a piece of ginger that you would buy to make your dinner, that probably would only be one eye at minimum. So it is quite a big piece that you're planting.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to like size this.
I'd say the pieces that you buy in like their full, what you grab off the shelf for a piece of ginger, it's probably like 20 centimetres.
Oh, but that's huge. I mean, that would take you a long time. That's a lot of curries.
That's a lot of curries, but like.
Yeah, I suppose how they're presented.
That's how they're presented.
Yeah, okay. That might have four eyes on it.
Okay.
So whack that in half.
Okay, okay.
Or just put the same
thing. And then those two halves that have the two eyes on them each at a minimum, those are 30 centimetres apart?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to do them 5 to centimetres deep, 20 to 30
centimetres
apart.
Oh, that's not super deep.
Not super deep given the size of them, no. Mm. What's important, like with all our rhizomes and tubers, is the buds need to be facing upwards.
Okay.
Because these buds are going to turn into the shooty uppies.
Is this an obvious thing or a Google before you put it in thing?
I think if you've got the idea of what the buds are, it's going to be very clear which way to put it up.
Okay.
If in doubt, give it a Google. But I reckon this one's a little bit easier than the dahlias discussion.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same when we talked about potatoes, for example, Jerusalem artichokes. There's going to be a shooty uppy that's going to come up, and underneath the ground is where what we want to harvest is proliferating.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see is the big green shooty uppy.
Yeah.
Fab.
Like the dahlias, do they need good drainage?
Spot on here. They absolutely need good drainage because like the dahlia, given it's the tuber or the rhizome that we're cultivating, they will rot if they're left too wet. And this can be a really big problem. So how do we overcome this?
Oh, sorry. Just quickly before we get to how we overcome the drainage issue. Turmeric, two eyes as well?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, on we go.
So drainage. We've said this with so many crops lately, but you just got to make sure that soil is not holding water. We talked about this in quite a lot of detail in last week's episode. So if you're not sure about like whether you've got good drainage, go back and listen to wet weather. But look, growing in a pot, you know, I'm not a fan of pots. This would be one crop that I would highly recommend you grow in a pot.
Okay.
Unless you're in Queensland and you're just
you having know, a good time.
Just nailing it without even thinking. The rest of us, I'd say grow in a pot. This way we can kind of control the moisture levels, make sure it's not sitting in water.
Yep.
Really important. And the thing with the pot, and the more we talk, you'll understand why this is important, being able to move these around can be quite handy.
Okay.
The portability. I have grown ginger and turmeric a few times, and the first time I grew it in the ground and it wasn't very successful. It did rot. So now I only grow it in pots and I've had much more success.
If you're keen to go to the ground, what kind of aspect do you need?
Well, what we want is warm, warm as we can get, but slightly shaded.
Okay.
So this is like your, you know, your dappled light would actually probably be perfect. You got to think of it like it's a tropical plant. It's like a rainforest situation. So it's warm, but it's not being smashed from the sun. It's not being smashed from the sun because it's got those like overhead taller trees.
Yep.
To protect it. So that's kind of what you want to replicate in your garden. The problem in the south of Australia is it's hard to get a really warm spot
that's not full sun. Yeah.
So this happy medium is a little bit more difficult to achieve.
Okay.
Doable.
So a dappled light situation would be a good shout for this.
Yeah. Inside a house is not bad in like up against a bright window because you're going to get a lot of warmth from that glass, but being inside, it's never going to get direct overhead sun.
If you had a brick wall, putting your pot next to that, great. To get that residual heat from the sun.
Exactly. That, the brick's going to like radiate heat, and also being up against a brick wall, it's never going to get as much sun as if it's sitting in the middle of the garden. So that's a really good option. Often people do like ferneries and other bit more tropical setups kind of next to their house, and this would be the perfect crop to include in that. And it is, the shooty uppies are very beautiful. Like they're green. Like it's not like we've got friggin' flowers coming out of this thing, but it is a very big, it almost looks like a large peace lily. Big green glossy leaves that are like a meter to a meter and a half tall.
Wow.
Yeah. So even just from the aesthetics of it, it's pretty good.
That's so fun.
I know. So actually it's an indoor plant. I've never done it, but the more I'm talking about it, I think I quite
could
like
be an
this.
Option.
Could be a good option.
Right.
Yeah, because you've got the aesthetics and it's going to really appreciate the warmth and the protection.
Love it.
I'm for it. If you're growing ginger or turmeric inside, tell me about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're in the warmer areas, you're not going to be, you know, fussing about position as much. So get it straight in the garden, somewhere shaded, and it's going to be happy days. Just make sure you've got the drainage situation sorted.
If we're choosing a pot and we're only putting it 5 centimetres below the top of the soil, how deep do you recommend the pot to be?
Good question. At least 30 centimetres.
Okay.
Usually as wide as a pot is, you want it that deep.
Okay.
So I'd say you'd want a pot that's at least 30 centimetres in diameter, and then we'd want a pot that's at least 30 centimetres down. It does grow outwards, not downwards, so the diameter is very important.
Okay, that's good to know.
But nonetheless, you don't really want it like super shallow. It's going to be hard to manage.
Okay.
Although, having said that, probably if there was one crop you could do that with a wide, shallow pot, it would probably be this one. But make life easier for yourself and just get a bigger pot.
Okie dokie. So we're either growing as a preference, we're growing in a pot, but you can grow in the ground if you're bold and want to take that on.
Exactly. Yep.
Looking for not the full pumping sun all day, but warm, perhaps with a bit of a shade or a dappled light situation.
Yep. Definitely in the afternoon.
5 centimetres below, 30 centimetres across from each other. What are we thinking in terms of water?
So they really like to be kept moist. Again, this is rainforest plant.
Yes. Okay. Keep thinking the rainforest.
Keep thinking of the rainforest. So a really dry soil is just not going to go well.
Yep.
Having said that, if we overwater and keep them too moist and they rot, which is more likely to happen when it's cooler. So in spring now, when we're planting, is actually probably the danger time to overwater and have these actually start to rot in the pot rather than thrive. So we definitely want to keep them moist, but we don't want to go, there's no need to go ham on this, especially in spring. Come summer, you're going to struggle to go ham because it's going to be so warm that it's going to need a lot of water. But until summer comes, just go easy on it. We have been talking last week about the amount of rainfall we're getting at the moment. If you have your ginger or turmeric in a pot and then it gets absolutely smashed by the rain as stuff has been going on, that can be too much. So what I would do is if it's expected to be a day of smash and rain, do what I talked about on the podcast last week, get a plastic bag, put it over the top of the pot.
Yep. Or shift it somewhere where you're going to get less rain.
Where it's going to get less rain. Exactly. And if it's a really cold snap, say you've planted it out, it's quite nice weather, but then you get a cold snap, just move it inside for that couple of
days.
And
a 30-centimeter pot, if that's what you're going with,
it's not too big. Yeah. To move around. Exactly. It's the bigger the pot, the more you're going to get, but it is, you'll get a modest harvest in a smaller pot. And 30-centimeter pot, super easy to move.
Particularly if you're trying this for the first time. Maybe you don't want to dedicate more space to it at this
stage. You're right. It's a low investment. You've made some dinner. You've got a piece of ginger left that you bought from the organic store. You whack it in a pot. You see what happens. low cost investment. So the pot situation in spring, good for moving it out of wet weather. In summer, good for moving it out of direct sun. And then in autumn, good for moving it somewhere warm, potentially inside. But we'll get to that when we talk about the life cycle.
So just recapping on water, want to keep it moist, but drainage.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Not unlike plenty of crops.
Yes.
It's not, it's no different to most, but again, being that rude, susceptible to rot. Being that rhizome, susceptible to rot.
What else do we need to worry about in terms of caring for the ginger and turmeric?
I would mulch it.
Yeah.
For the same reason that we mulch most things. We want that soil to stay moist, but and in summer that can be difficult with evaporation, especially in a pot. They're harder to keep moist. So I would mulch it. Also, it's going to be great to stop weeds coming up, but the ginger and turmeric shooty uppies will have no problem shooting up through that mulch.
Mm-hmm.
So you can mulch it when you plant it. Just cover the whole top with the mulch and then you'll see your shooty uppies. They're going to take at least a month when you plant it, by the way. So don't have a freak out when you've planted it and you see nothing a couple of weeks later. At least a month these shooty uppies are going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's cooler. The fun thing about this crop is there's pretty much no pests and diseases to worry about.
Ooh, do you know what? I feel like we're seeing a theme of things that are strong in taste and smell and bugs not being interested.
You're right. You're definitely right. That has been a theme. Yeah. So look, I don't even think the snails and slugs are going to be interested, which at the moment is a serious win.
If they come and chomp the leaves a little bit.
Well, we're not in the leaf game, are we?
No, we're not.
Yeah, I like that. No, you're right. And look, the shooty uppies, they come on strong. They're not, it's no little delicate tomato seedling that's the size of a toothpick here. They're solid, like a superior peace lily.
Is there anything you'd worry about in terms of giving it an extra feed throughout the year?
No, I don't think I've ever fed them.
Okay, fabulous.
I mean,
They seem quite low.
this is why I say though,
high and low maintenance. Bars. Yeah,
if you're in the tropics, they are pretty low maintenance. Yeah. Really low maintenance. When you're down here in Chile,
just getting
Melbourne,
the climate right.
The
is
climate
difficult.
Is the difficult part, which is why I said they're not a beginner for us.
Okay, so we're getting them in spring, summer.
Yeah.
How long till we're harvesting?
Well, quite a while actually. So let me step you through the life cycle.
Mm.
We get them in spring. We wait about a month. Then we get our shooty uppies. These are going to be these big, tall green leaves up to 1.5 meters tall. They're going to hang out all summer and all autumn. It's going to look lovely, but there's no harvesting going on at this point.
Okay.
Then as the weather cools down.
All summer and all autumn.
Yep.
So it's in for, at this stage, maybe between 6 and 9 months.
Yep.
I mean, we're not putting it in the beginning of spring. So no. Between, 6, 7, 8 months is in there.
Well, actually, it's 8 to 10 months.
Okay. So it's a slow burn.
This is a slow burn.
Okay. So it's the end of autumn.
It's the end of autumn. It starts to get cold. The leaves are going to start to go yellow and die down.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of similar to how our artichokes go. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the end of their growing season. This means it's time to harvest. Now, the longer you can keep these green leaves happy and green and not yellow and dying, the bigger your ginger and turmeric harvest will be. If you can take that pot and move it inside before it starts to die down in the cold, you're going to prolong the growing period and you're going to have a much bigger harvest.
So it's the cold.
It's the cold
problem.
That's the problem. The cold is what's going to end your streak.
Right.
So the longer we can extend it, and this also goes the other way in that the earlier we get it in the ground, the longer the growing period we have.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, it has been way too cold in Melbourne spring the last few weeks to even contemplate getting it in.
Right.
You'd only be thinking about getting it in now. Or you get it in inside.
Mm-hmm.
So your pot can be inside in spring. It can be outside in summer. It can come back inside in autumn. If you've got a greenhouse, even if it's just a, you know, plastic situation, that can be a really great help.
Okay.
So they're going to start dying down. This is probably going to happen end of autumn, start of winter. Once they're dead and gone, the shitty uppies, you're going to dig up the soil and find your gold.
Fabulous. Is this just as good as digging up your potatoes?
Well, if you get a good harvest, it is. If not, if not, it's a bit disappointing. I think it actually, I mean, it's pretty exciting. Be careful, like, with your potatoes. I don't want you getting the spade in there and then you're going to, like, damage your turmeric and ginger.
I did see on Instagram someone harvesting their potatoes and they got out, they were using a grow bag and they got out like a big tarp and they flipped the bag upside down and just like tipped it out.
With that these in the pot. That could be a good shout. Because as soon as you damage it with a spade, you're just not going to be able to store it. Mm. So if you've only got one piece in there and you've damaged it with a spade, but you're going to cook with it that night, I mean, it's fine. Yeah. But we know we're in the game of a bit of a bigger harvest than that. Mm. Just be careful. But yes, if you can, if the pot is of a size that you can just tip it over, wonderful. I'm also not opposed, if I've got an empty garden bed, tipping it out over the garden bed, because then any soil that was left in that pot just kind of becomes part of that garden bed, and then I can fill it up with fresh soil for next year.
Yep.
So don't hate that. So then that's your kind of your 8 to 10 months in a circle. Here's where it again gets interesting depending on your temperature. If you're in the warmer regions, what you can do is just leave some bits behind and then that'll be next year's ginger and turmeric.
Gosh, they're lucky.
I know. I'm really jealous.
So what about for us?
Well, so for us, we need to treat it like an annual, like a hard and fast. We're going to dig it all up. We're either going to consume it all and then buy more the following spring to plant, or we're going to consume some and save some, like store it in our house to then replant.
And for the one that you're storing, the biggest, bestest one?
I suppose so. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I know garlic cloves, right? Like, the bigger the clove you plant, the bigger the bulb you get at the end. Mm. I don't know if it's the same for ginger and turmeric. I suppose you just save as much as what you want to plant.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, if this is your first crack at this and you're in the colder regions, harvest it, eat it all. Just buy another one next year.
Yeah.
Because what I have done this with a few things and it's really sad, is you save it thinking, oh, I'm going to store it to plant, and then you don't store it correctly because I'm not always nailing the storage. And then the thing rots and then you're like, well, shit, I didn't eat it. Now I can't plant it.
Yeah.
So just eat it all and buy some more.
Okay.
Once you know what you're doing, and if you're getting heaps and you've got heaps that if some rots, you know, you're not sad about it. But like if you've got enough that you would actually eat it, then just eat it.
Eat it and enjoy it.
Exactly. So, you know, I suppose the warmer regions, what they're doing is exactly what we do for Jerusalem artichokes.
Mm.
You have a dedicated bed that you just keep like reproducing that same crop in year after year after year, harvesting some, leaving some behind, really low maintenance. With us in the colder regions, where you plant it one year, you might plant it somewhere else the next.
Okay.
Having said that, if you have it in a pot and you can bring that pot inside for winter, I would say you can probably keep this thing going in the same, like as a perennial basically.
Mm.
Where I am is so cold. I have tried to keep it in the greenhouse over winter to kind of turn it into a perennial because I'm a big fan of that. I haven't been able to do it.
Yeah,
doesn't mean you can't in Melbourne.
It does feel quite advanced.
Well, it shouldn't be. It's just that. It's just so cold.
Yeah, you're right. We don't have the climate that leads itself to it or lends itself to it, I should
say. Nah. But having said that, like my greenhouse gets really cold, whereas like your house, especially in Melbourne, is not going to get anywhere near as cold. So if you give it a crack, if you can, like if it's not a big deal to bring that pot inside, bring it inside. But look, growing it as a hard and fast annual, aside from the fact that it takes 8 to 10 months, which is a long, you know, that's not a bad option.
Mm.
Just getting it out of the ground and then, you know, 3 months later planting it again.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So that's the ginger and turmeric.
Can we talk about storage?
Yes, although I will admit I'm not the best at this.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes out, it's what's called fresh ginger or turmeric, which let's just talk about ginger because I feel like that's going to be easier for people to kind of grasp. Have you been to the shops and you've got the ginger and it's got like a very thin skin, quite light in color, mm-hmm. and it almost looks naked?
Yep.
That's what's called fresh ginger. So my guess is this will be in winter. So this is freshly harvested, come out of the ground. It hasn't formed that skin. So, you know, when you have that like dark kind of gray brown skin that yep. you have to like peel off or cut off, that's been aged and that skin kind of keeps it, like, is what creates its like little storage component. Mm-hmm. So when you harvest it, it's going to look like your naked ginger. That actually, in my opinion, is the nicest ginger, the fresh ginger. So use it to your heart's content when it comes out. This is the same with turmeric. Then you want to dry it to store it. So I would suggest, I mean, I'm thinking like somewhere cool and dry, not the fridge would be my thoughts.
Yeah.
Because we want it to create that skin. So okay. I know when...
And should it be just out in the air at this stage or in like an airtight container to dry?
No, out in the air.
Okay.
So we want it, what we're doing is kind of removing moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put something in a container, you're like holding in the moisture. We're going to remove the moisture.
Yep.
Because I know when people store it, like if you're doing this, you're planting your harvest, you know, your extras from your harvest last year, people store it in a cellar. Just out somewhere dry. Oh, God, I'm imagining just like in the pantry on a shelf.
Okay.
Over winter anyway. Once it warms up, put it in the fridge.
In the fridge.
Well, once it's dried, like once the weather starts warming up. Because then you can imagine like otherwise it's going to start
okay,
sprouting. Okay,
so you're just enjoying your naked ginger for a few weeks.
Yeah.
The rest of it you're popping in a cool, dry place, probably a pantry.
Yeah.
Until, say... summer starts?
No, I'd say until spring starts.
Okay, okay. And then after that, in the fridge?
In the fridge.
Gotcha.
Because you think about it, if you're the ginger and you're hanging out in the pantry and then the weather starts warming up, that's telling you it's time to bud up and send up your shooty uppies, which maybe we want because we're going to plant it. But if we're still trying to eat it at this point, we don't want it to get shooty uppies. So it's the same with Jerusalem artichokes. Like you'll see if you've got them in the house and you've harvested them through winter, they're going to be happy just hanging out. The second that weather warms up, they're going to be...
Mm-hmm.
Just think about what the plant's thinking. You know, get in the plant's head. Have we got this down?
I think so. In theory, at least. So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
Tess, this was the episode you wanted. Has it lived up to expectation? Are you going to be planting some ginger and turmeric this spring?
So what the ginger and turmeric has going for it is it's delicious.
It is. It's expensive.
It's expensive to buy. All of the steps that you have mentioned seem pretty easy, which would usually lend itself to best on ground. But I feel like creating a climate that naturally doesn't exist in Melbourne puts it into the superstar status for me.
The other thing I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but we're going to go again, is the colder it is, the less growth is going to happen.
Mm.
So in the same piece for the same amount of time, somewhere warmer is going to give you a bigger harvest underneath the ground than somewhere cooler. So the other thing I think on squeezy juice is that the cooler you are, the less you're going to end up with after arguably more effort in a way.
Yeah.
I will say this, I feel like, and I don't know because I've never tried this in Melbourne, but I'd love for you to and we could talk about it. I feel like Melbourne is the cusp of just being warm enough to kind of nail this as a superstar.
Mm.
I think any colder than that, so like where I am in the mountains of Victoria, I'm going to say it gets chucked into wooden spoon.
Wow.
I know. Have I ever said that? I did with
but
carrots.
But hang on, but the reward is good.
But 8 to 10 months of really...
And you might not get much.
How, managing this.
Do you get enough to sustain yourself for a year?
No.
Oh, okay. Wooden spoon.
Yes. Definitely. And I also don't like the fact that it's not like, oh, Lisa's cooking a curry tonight. Let's go dig up some ginger. Like it's...
Yeah.
You kind of, you get... You, You can leave it in the... No, it's like a harvested all at once.
The thing that I do like is that you can have a relatively low-key crack at this.
You can.
By putting it in a pot.
Yeah.
And finding the right spot for it and moving it around as the weather requires, you can have a reasonable crack at it.
Yeah, you're right. It's a low investment.
Yep.
Give it a go. See what happens. If you get a decent harvest, high five, do it again. If not, you know, save your energy.
Because you think about it, if you go out and say buy a fabric grow bag and a knob of ginger, it's not a huge outlay either.
No, it's not. It's not. And you're right. As a space thing, it's not a big deal. I do think there's something to be
said. Don't put a fabric grow bag in your house.
No, don't do that. I would love to know about the indoor. I think that maybe could be the happy halfway house.
It could be the answer for us in the cool estates.
Yeah. Try that.
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess. Artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.